Last week I began a series on the gifts of the Spirit by preaching on the gifts of revelation. All right, let's review what they are. Anyone remember what the gifts of revelation are? Okay, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. All right, the gift of discerning between spirits or discerning spirits. All right, hallelujah. All right, today I'm going to preach on the next set of three. And they are called the gifts of power. Hallelujah. The word of God says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Somebody say power. Power. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but a matter of power. I remember back when I was a kid, there was a song, a rap song. And it goes, I got the power. Dun, dun, dun. Y'all remember that? All right, hallelujah. That's right, that's right. And God has given us access to that power. If you looked on our passage that our brother Dave just read, 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul says himself, he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with what? A demonstration of the Spirit's power. All right, everybody say power again. Power. Hallelujah. I got the power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Paul, he experienced that when the power of God is demonstrated, multitudes of people come to know Jesus as Lord. When he went into Corinth, it was a place filled with immorality. And instead of being daunted by that, instead of thinking, man, how do I got to convince these people? He just went in with boldness because he knew that the Spirit's power, as long as his power was being demonstrated, he knew that the most immoral of people will come to know the Lord. Hallelujah. But sadly, many Christians today, they do not advance the kingdom of God because they do not manifest the power of God. They wait for sovereign acts of God's power. They go, I guess if God wants to do it, then he'll just do it. And all the while, you know what they live in? They live in fear to the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. You know, church, we got to stop watching Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. You got to stop watching these horror movies that open you up to spirits of fear. And we got to begin to rise up to demonstrate God's power. All right? Because the word of God says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. All right? Y'all need to get off your horror movie fetishes. I know there's a lot of people. When I do deliverance ministry, all right, about one out of four people, they have a horror movie fetish. All right, that is a bondage. All right, that just creates spirits of fear. People like that, they have a hard time getting into spiritual things because everything just spooks them out. Hallelujah. That's another message, though. Now, one way that we can demonstrate God's power is through the spiritual gifts of power. Hallelujah. And the first of these three is called the gift of faith. The gift of faith. Somebody say gift of faith. What is the gift of faith? You might be like, well, isn't faith a gift from God? What the heck is the gift of faith? What in the world is the gift of faith, as Miriam would say? Hallelujah. You know, all faith is a gift from God. But it may be helpful to categorize the kinds of faith that we can experience. In the Christian, there are three kinds of faith that can be experienced. Okay, let me explain. First is saving faith. All right, Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. All you guys, all you who call yourselves Christians in the sanctuary right now, do you realize that you don't see Jesus with your physical senses, but yet you are able to have a certainty that trusting the cross of Christ will result in your salvation. You don't see him with your physical eyes. How did you get that kind of ability? Well, I'll tell you right now, it's because that saving faith is a gift of God. He gives it. He gives it as a gift, as part of grace to save people. The second kind of faith is the fruit of faith. Jesus said, if a man abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. You know, when you study the word of God and you devote yourselves in prayer, you begin to produce fruit. And one of those fruits is faith. All right? Hallelujah. And the fruit of faith is something that grows over time as you respond and obey the Lord. That's the fruit of faith. The Bible says that the initial and continuing faith are both a gift of God. Our faith in Jesus as Savior is the work of God, the Holy Spirit. And the faith to continue in Christ's Lordship is supplied by the Holy Spirit as well. Not only do you get saved by grace, but you get sanctified by grace. Hallelujah. Faith, brothers and sisters, be sure of it, is a gift of God. And that goes for whether you're a Reformed theologian or you believe in Arminianism. All right, it's all believed that everything is a gift of God. The Bible says Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. But there is a third kind of faith that can be experienced in the Christian life. And this is called the gift of faith. Hallelujah. The gift of faith is a divine, supernatural manifestation of God's faith imparted to you at a specific time, at a specific place, for a specific purpose. That's the definition of gift of faith. All right, let me give that to you again. The gift of faith is a divine, supernatural manifestation of God's faith imparted to you at a specific time, at a specific place, for a specific purpose. The gift of faith is given instantaneously. It is a sudden surge of faith that causes us to believe without a doubt that as we speak in Jesus' name, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. That's good. I'm getting a lot of blank stares. So let me give you some examples from the Old Testament first. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 16, Elijah confronts 450 prophets of Baal. He challenges them to set up an altar and then to see which God would answer by fire. So if you know the story, the prophets of Baal, they come and they go, ah! They dance around the altar and then they're like, ah! But he ain't come. Baal ain't coming today. Ah! Where is he? And they start cutting themselves and letting the blood flow because that's their custom. It comes till evening and nothing happens. Now, when it was Elijah's turn, okay, he confidently repaired the altar. Then he boldly had jars of water poured over the altar again and again. Hallelujah. Then he prayed and fire fell from heaven. Hallelujah. And it burned up the sacrifice and licked up all the water off the altar. Hallelujah. You know, when we think of Elijah, we think of a mighty man of faith. Amen? But if you know the real story of Elijah, you read just a chapter later, all right, you know that he ran away at the threats of a woman, all right, at the threats of Ahab's wife, Jezebel. Elijah ran away like a little baby. After he has his great victory, all right, he goes, runs and hides and starts crying, getting all depressed, and he wants to die. All right. You see, Elijah, it wasn't Elijah's faith that was operating when he challenged the prophets of Baal. All right. There was a mighty surge of faith that carried him. And that was a special gift of faith that Elijah received for that time. Hallelujah. Another incident in the Old Testament is that of Daniel in the lion's den. Now, contrary to Elijah, we know that Daniel was a mighty man of faith. Hallelujah. He did not waver. He was a mighty man of faith. But even for as much as Daniel had developed the fruit of faith in his life, it took a surge of faith for him to remain calm when he got thrown in the lion's den. Amen? Come on now. You could take the man who has the greatest measure of faith in this room, and if you told him that you're going to throw him into a lion's den today, he will start to shake, he will start to panic, he will start to try to explain his way out. All right? But Daniel remained as calm as possible. All right? Hallelujah. And he stayed there overnight. All right? Hallelujah. Maybe he slept, maybe he didn't. I think he slept. All right? Because the gift of faith was operating in Daniel. He goes, I'm going to be all right. And these lions are, wow. And Daniel's like, can't touch me. All right? How did he have that kind of boldness and faith? Because the gift of faith was operating in Daniel. Do you understand that? It was a surge of faith. It wasn't his own. Some people think that this gift is something that you can work toward or develop. All right? Nope. It's either you got it or you don't. All right? This is a spiritual gift. It's not some weak thing. This is a power gift. Hallelujah. And God manifests it, especially in times of crises, in an instant as the Spirit determines. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. An example of the gift of faith in the New Testament can be found in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 3, Peter looks at a lame beggar and he says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And this lame man, he got up off his feet and started to walk, and he was completely healed. Now, how did Peter say these words with such faith? Right? We look at him and we go, man, I wish I could be like Peter. But you're forgetting what Peter was really like. See, this wasn't a demonstration of Peter's faith. Okay? This was the operation of the gift of faith. I'll tell you right now, it wasn't Peter's faith that was working alone. It was God's faith that was poured out to Peter at that moment. So he had a 100% confidence that as he told that lame man to walk, he was going to walk. Peter wasn't like, as the words were coming out of his mouth, silver or gold, I have none, but what I have, I'll give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Walk! Oh man, I really hope he walks. I'm going to look like a fool right now. Those thoughts weren't running through his mind. He said it with bonus because the gift of faith is in operation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the gift of faith comes on you, whatever it is that God prompts you to say or to pray, it comes to pass. You know, some of you in here have already been, you've experienced the gift of faith, but you haven't realized it. All right, let me give you an example. Have you ever had a two-week period where everything you said suddenly happened and everything that you did, it just simply worked out? Like, there was a big decision or there were crazy odds before you, but you went ahead with the decision anyways with this confidence because there was just this unshakable faith in you that everything will work out right. And then 2 weeks later, all that confidence is gone. And you start thinking, man, maybe I just need to pray more. Maybe I need to read the Bible more. Then I get to the level of faith that I was at 2 weeks ago. Brothers and sisters, what really happened to you in those moments? I'll tell you what happened. What really happened was that God carried you on His faith for a while. Because He wanted to bring breakthroughs for your life. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes God drops the gift of faith on certain people to believe Him supernaturally for finances or a business venture. You guys know about George Mueller? George Mueller was a guy, he ran orphanages, but the way he provided food for his orphans was very unorthodox. You might look at him and say he's crazy, or you might say he's careless. All right? He would sit down with the orphans. All right, children, gather together. Let us say grace. But Mr. Mueller, there is no food. Hush, little child. The Lord our God, He will provide. How do you know? Let's just pray. Lord, we thank You for the food that's coming right now. Amen. Mr. I'm a milk delivery man, and my truck just broke down the street. I don't know what to do with all this milk. If I keep it till tomorrow morning, it's going to go sour. Do you have any need for it? Looks like you have an orphanage here. Hallelujah! All the children are like, yeah, Mr. Mueller did it again. That's one of many stories in which George Mueller, all right, demonstrated this enormous tenacity to believe God for his provision. All right? I'm telling you, that wasn't George Mueller's faith. That was the gift of faith. You know, some men will do business ventures that are completely in opposition to what the economy is saying. And somehow, God will give them this confidence. They'll go through with it anyway, and God will give them that success. That's the gift of faith. Hallelujah. You know, some of the men in here need the gift of faith. Yes, some of the men in here need the gift of faith. You know what you need the gift of faith for? Some of the men in here, you need the gift of faith for your love life. All right, hallelujah. Good man, some brothers in here, you are so chicken to ask a girl out or to approach or pray about a girl and go through with it. Man, you just need the gift of faith. You know, and sometimes God will give men a gift of faith to go ahead and, you know, approach that girl that God's putting on their heart. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not talking to my college students, all right? My Yonsei students, y'all wait. Wait on the Lord. But the older men, all the gentlemen, brothers, man, pray for that gift of faith. Because, you know, some of y'all need to move on that. Some wonderful ladies, some wonderful sisters in JSEM, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, another man who manifested the gift of faith was a guy named Smith Wigglesworth. Now, before you laugh at his name, all right, listen to his life. You know, Wigglesworth, one time, all right, somebody called him and said, Mr. Wigglesworth, there's a man that's dying. Can you hurry up and come pray for him? You know, God's using him in healing a lot. So Smith Wigglesworth was like, all right, I'll get there soon. Don't worry about it. You know, called him again. Mr. Wigglesworth, you got to hurry up. This man is about to die. He's like, all right, I'll be there in a moment. Third call, Mr. Wills, the man's dead. No use in you coming anymore. Mr. Smith Wills says, all right, just calm down. I'll be there. He gets there, and there were probably about 30 or 60 people in that room. People wailing, grieving. All right. He went up to the corpse. All right. Grabbed the body out of the corpse, threw it against the wall, and said, I forget what he said. Said something crazy like, you know, wake up or something like that. All right, he said, wake up. And the corpse just fell to the floor. And by this time, you can hear his mama going, ah! All right, Smith Wigglesworth picks him up again, puts him against the wall, and says, come alive. I don't know. I forgot what he said. It falls to the ground again. Everyone's just horrified, right? Smith was he's not even flustered. He picks up the corpse again and says, I command you right now, come back to life. And all of a sudden, the corpse started to breathe again. And this man that was dead came back to life. You see, Smith, I wouldn't recommend that you do that, all right? Because Smith Wigglesworth was not operating in his faith. He was operating with a gift of faith. See, God had determined he's going to raise this man from the dead. God saw a man that was available to do that. So what did God do? He gave him a surge of faith. Because Smith Wigglesworth did not go to every funeral and do that. Okay? He did it for that moment as the Spirit determines. Hallelujah. Now, something funny else he did is, for example, if a man came in twice into his healing line, you know what he'd do? He would kick the man. I mean, literally, he would kick men. All right, right on their boot. He will kick them. The man will go flying, crutches and all. And then they'll get up and be healed. All right, there's another incident where Smith Wigglesworth, this is a man who was dying of cancer, was in his healing line. The guy approached Smith Wigglesworth, and all of a sudden, He punched the guy in the stomach. The guy went flying, fell on the floor. Everyone's like, Mr. Wigglesworth, he's dead. Everyone's like, man, he's dead. Smith Wigglesworth, unflustered, he said, no, he's healed. 8-10 minutes passed by. All of a sudden, man gets up, completely healed, starts running around the sanctuary, shouting with joy. Now, I would not recommend that you emulate this form of healing prayer. Okay? Wigglesworth did these crazy bold things because it was the gift of faith that was dropped down into his spirit. Hallelujah. Once again, like I said, it's a power gift. When the gift of faith comes on you, such boldness comes on you that you might scare and shock people. Why? Because you're not operating in your faith, you're moving in God's faith. Hallelujah. Y'all ready for the next power gift? Let me hear you say, yeah. Our next is the gift of working miracles. All right, let me ask you a question. What is a miracle? Some of the students might be like, man, I just passed my history exam. Woo, what a miracle. Or the Eagles, they scored a game-winning touchdown with only 4 seconds left to win the Super Bowl. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Hallelujah. Super Bowl, Lord. Or y'all might be like, man, it's a miracle. Christians finally getting married. Right. Hallelujah. It's a miracle. Now, we use that word liberally. But, you know, miracles are, you know, we use it like that, but it's very specific. Miracles are events that seem to override or contradict the so-called nature, laws of nature. That's what a miracle really is. Think about it. Aren't you glad that the world is predictable? There are certain things in nature that repeat themselves. I mean, imagine how crazy our world would be if sunrises were sporadic and the pull of gravity was just like random. You know, you put your cup down, it just starts floating away. And then the next minute, like it's hitting the floor. I mean, how crazy would our world be? You know, God keeps things regular for our convenience. Hallelujah. He orders the universe for our convenience. But you know, when God manifests a miracle, you know what he does? He changes his accustomed ways of dealing with nature in order to meet the needs of his believing people and or to show the world that he is sovereign. Hallelujah. You know, in Egypt, Pharaoh's magicians, they were able to manipulate and do signs and wonders as well. But God, the signs and wonders that were exponentially greater than anything that they were able to do. Hallelujah. Moses was like, look at my staff. Wow, it turned into a snake. Pharaoh's like, hey, I think I've seen that before. Hey, y'all, hook it up. Pharaoh's magicians are like, look at the power of Bali Mama. Yes. Oh, it's a snake. Yeah, I told you, Moses ain't nothing. All right. And all of a sudden they watch. And then the snake of Moses' staff swallows up the black magic. All right, hallelujah. Because God's just like, man, y'all can try to emulate what I'm doing, but I'm telling you, I'm in charge. All right? A lot of scholars say that all the 10 plagues of Egypt were a judgment on certain gods of Egypt. Because Egyptians, they worshipped all kinds of things in nature. And what God was doing was like, these gods of yours cannot save you. All right, and God just brought judgment. Hallelujah. The gift of working miracles is a supernatural gift from God to work a miracle. Some biblical examples of the working of miracles. All right. Dividing the Red Sea. The sun and moon standing still for Joshua. Some of y'all might just be like, nah, that didn't happen. Okay. Well, the sun and moon, they rotate, they orbit our earth. Okay, in a regular fashion. But trust me, the God who made the earth and the moon and the sun, he can make it stand still if he wants to. Okay. Hallelujah. Yeah, I still have a hard time with that still. But yeah, he's a God of working miracles. He turned water to wine. Jesus, right? Jesus walked on water. There's a miracle. Feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, some like people, man, they try to explain away miracles. And they say, man, back in those Hebrew, Roman days, you know, the loaves were much bigger back then. Right? 5 loaves was enough. 1 loaf for each 1,000. Man, that just don't make no sense. Because you got to remember, man, these 5 loaves and 2 fish, they belong to a little kid. Can you imagine the mama going, Hey, son, don't forget your 5 loaves and 2 fish today. All right? I don't know why that actually came out. But hallelujah. It was a little kid's lunch. All right? How big can the loaves have been? Man. You know, one of my personal favorites is in Acts chapter 13, where Paul strikes Elymas the sorcerer with temporary blindness because he's interfering with the preaching of the gospel. Woo! That's a hot miracle. Man, I'm glad that God didn't give me that one. Because if God allowed me to use that miracle, man, sometimes I'll probably use it when I'm driving, you know? Somebody cuts me off. Like, what? You pull up next to him. Hey, son. Bam! Stop cutting people off. I don't know. Hallelujah. That's a hot miracle, I think. You know, one famous miracle worker from the Bible, his name was Elijah. Now, when Elijah was about to be taken up to heaven with chariots of fire, Elisha, his disciple, asked for a double portion of his anointing. After Elijah was taken up, the Bible records that Elisha indeed received that double anointing. Because if you read the life of Elisha, or Elisha, whatever you want to say, he did double the miracles of Elijah. Hallelujah. You know, this is symbolic of what happened at Jesus' ascension. When Jesus ascended, we received the anointing that was upon Jesus. We have access to that same anointing of the same Spirit. But we don't get just a double portion of it, brothers and sisters. But Jesus said that there is no limit. He doesn't set any kind of limits. He says, I tell you the truth, John 14, 12, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. That means we can get just the same amount of anointing that Jesus did. But he says he will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. He didn't say you will just do double the works of these, but he will do greater things than these. Hallelujah. Because Jesus ascended to the Father, he has given us an anointing to do the same miracles that he did. But not only that, he has anointed us to do greater things. But you know, some people think it's a sin to seek a miraculous sign. They quote Matthew 12:39. A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Words of Jesus. And people say, see, you're not supposed to ask. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks a sign, a miraculous sign. You're not supposed to seek miracles. Okay. But brothers and sisters, we got to remember that when Jesus is talking here, he's talking to the wicked and adulterous generation. It's not that Jesus is telling everyone that it's wicked to seek miracles. He's saying that it's the wicked that seek miracles. I don't think y'all got that. And for the righteous, for those who trust in Christ, Jesus said that these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. For a believer, miraculous signs are an evidence of faith. Whereas for the unbeliever, the wicked and adulterous generation, demanding a miraculous sign is an evidence of the lack of faith. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? Well, so when Jesus is saying these words, he's saying it to an unbelieving generation. It is not a sin to seek a miraculous sign. Every believer should expect and seek to work miracles. Because these are the signs that accompany those who believe. Hallelujah. If y'all didn't get that, I'll give you my notes. Hallelujah. You know, in the book Holy Spirit and You by Dennis Bennett, some people call him the father of the charismatic movement. There's a story of a guy named David Duplessis and the miracle that he experienced. One day he and some men were gathered to pray in a garden for a friend who was seriously ill, who was living about a mile away. And this is what David Duplessis said. He said, "As we prayed, the Lord said to me, 'You are needed at that man's bedside right away.' So I snatched up my hat, rushed around the house and out the front gate. But as I took one step out of the gate, my next step fell on the front steps of the house a mile away, where our sick friend was. It startled me greatly, of course, to know that I was carried that mile instantly. And I knew that it had happened that way because some 15 minutes later, the rest of the men I had been praying with came puffing down the road and they asked me, 'How'd you get here so fast?'" In the 60s, Indonesia was also a place where the working of miracles was common. Water was turned to wine for communion. Groups of Christians walked on water to cross rivers to proclaim the good news. Thousands were healed and many were raised from the dead. This happened in the 60s in Indonesia, right, which is now, if you know, the world's largest Muslim population. And you might just dismiss such reports as being fabricated, but the strongest indirect evidence that these signs actually happened is if you study that period, 2.5 Muslims were converted to Christianity. Hallelujah. The gift of working miracles is one of the gifts that brings great glory to God. And according to Jesus' promise in John 14:12, it's one that we should see more manifestations of here in the church. You know, God delights in doing miracles and in having his children manifest this gift. Yeah. At the same time, we got to be wary because for every genuine gift of God, there will be a demonic counterfeit. You know, Dennis Bennett wrote, "A mushroom and a toadstool look exactly alike, but one is delicious food and the other deadly poison. Only the Word of God can teach us to detect spiritual toadstools." Christians do not expect miracles for the sake of miracles, but because God promised that they will follow in the lives of his children and because they meet human needs and lead others to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the gift of working miracles. Third is the power gifts is the gifts of healing. Healing. Hallelujah. Somebody say, "I believe in healing." Yeah, that's because this is the most widely accepted of the 9 gifts of the Spirit in the body of Christ. All right, people, "Man, I don't know about gift of prophecy, man. That don't sound right. Oh, man, gift of tongue, man, freaks me out. Gift of healing, oh, I'm okay with that. Man, everybody, you know, they believe in the gift of healing. You know, this is cool." You know, Jesus manifested this gift the most. He spent about 90% of his recorded ministry healing the sick. Hallelujah. And if we're supposed to do the same works that he did, we should also be healing the sick. Amen? Hallelujah. Show of hands, how many of you in here healed somebody that was sick in the last month? Hallelujah. All right. God wants us to manifest this gift and carry on the ministry of Jesus. And after the resurrection, right, and before the ascension of Christ, what you notice is it's interesting to note that Jesus healed no one. Okay, up until his death, he healed people left and right. But after he rose again and before he ascended, during that period, he didn't heal a single person. Do you know why he did that? Because he was preparing his disciples to carry on the ministry that he has so diligently did for 3 years. He commanded his disciples, heal the sick. And he gives us the same command today. JSCM, heal the sick. Heal the sick. The book of Acts says that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And he went around healing all those with infirmities and setting them free from the bondage of the devil. Jesus is anointed to heal the sick and set people free from bondage. And hallelujah, that's the same ministry that we need to carry on today. You know, as we look at this gift, if we look at 1 Corinthians 12, this phrase, gifts of healing, it appears 3 times in the chapter. And each time, both the nouns, gifts and healings, in the Greek, they are plural. Okay? An English equivalent might be gifts of cures. That would be a little bit more accurate way to look at it. Okay? And this is, it might be like, well, what the heck? This is logical. You know why? Because there are so many diseases that many gifts of healing are needed to deal with them all. I mean, imagine if one person had a gift of healing, just had one gift, man, everybody would just come to that person. You see, gifts of healing, diversities of these gifts are given out so that, you know, one person doesn't get taxed with all the sick people in the world, you know. But people go to that person for specific ailments. Isaiah 53:5 says, by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. That reminds me of this funny story. There was a professor that was teaching that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. And he was reading this passage and he was like, this is the passage that... And he actually... Something was wrong with his voice. He was sick, right? So his voice was gone. And he was like, this is the passage that charismatics use to try to justify that the gifts of healing are still for today. But there is nothing here that tells us that the gifts are for today. It just says that by his stripes we are healed. All students got shocked. They're like, what? As he was just saying this verse, God healed him instantly. Hallelujah. God has a funny sense of humor. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. You know, 39 stripes were laid across Jesus' back. And they represent healing for all diseases. All right. I want you to look to your neighbor, pretend you're whipping them, and just say, by his stripes we are healed. Y'all look real funny. Yeah, God uses some people regularly with the gifts of healing, and we may say that that person has a ministry of healing, right? Because if God uses them regularly, that they might be released into kind of ministry and do conferences and stuff. And what you'll notice is that such ministries, they will have certain ailments that they are especially effective in healing. So for example, some people are very effective in healing arthritis or blindness or cancer or heart issues. Okay. And I think it's wonderful that there are healing ministers in the world today. But how much more wonderful would it be when large numbers of God's people begin to move out for him and obey the command of the Lord to heal the sick? And it's wonderful that there's healing ministers out there. You know, you hear about some, like a Benny Hinn or something coming to town, and people pack up Madison Square Garden to get their healing. But how much more wonderful would it be if all they had to do was go to their church on Sunday, and there would be plenty of people that would be willing to pray for their healing, and they would get healed. You know, Dennis Bennett said, in every local congregation where the baptism in the Spirit is being received, there are people with underdeveloped ministries of healing. If what Dennis Bennett is saying is right, that means that in this room, there are many people that have underdeveloped ministries of healing. You have a ministry of healing to people with chronic back pain, to people who have blood diseases, people who have liver issues, people who have one leg that's longer than the other. They're all underdeveloped though. Hallelujah. If you have received the baptism of the Spirit, and if you don't know what that is, stay tuned for a message in the future. All right. Hallelujah. Welcome to JSCN. But for those who receive a baptism in the Spirit, any believer can, because the Bible says these signs will accompany those who believe, right? Any believer can manifest the gift of healing, gifts of healing. Right? But it's when you receive the baptism of the Spirit that God uses it in a more intense and frequent way. People who have that receive that, they tend to manifest that gift a lot more. That person who has not received the baptism of the Spirit. Right? And that's interesting to note. God wants all of us to heal the sick. Amen? God wants all of us to heal the sick. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor that. God wants you to heal the sick. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, he said that he never felt God's power more strongly than when he prayed for the sick. Hallelujah. Now, you know, healing, it can be instant or it can be gradual. You know, if you get into a healing line, you get prayed for and you don't see immediate change, don't go away thinking that you didn't receive your healing. Okay? Because you gotta stay in that faith and just believe. Whether it's you stay in that faith for a day or a year, you just gotta keep believing God for your healing. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God says you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And sometimes healing is instant, other times it's gradual. Hallelujah. But make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters, God heals. But you know, sometimes people don't need a healing, they need a miracle. You know, if someone is in a coma because of severe brain damage, they don't need a healing. What they need is a miracle. Okay. A miracle is when an eyeball is formed in an empty socket. A miracle is when an arm grows back or organs get replaced and regenerated. Miracles are instant. And sometimes a healing anointing comes onto services, and at other times, the power of God to work miracles can be present. But you know what? JSCN, we're not going to see healings and miracles if you don't step out on the water and start praying for people. You might ask, how do I do that? How do I do that? Well, I'm still learning how to pray for the sick. All right, hallelujah. And I want to provide y'all with some practical steps that you can take to heal the sick. First of all, faith is very key when praying for the sick. God can release healing through the faith of the minister, or through the faith of the sick person, or through the faith of the sick person's friends. As in the case with the paralytic that was lowered out of the roof. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, when you minister with the gifts of healing, it is important to give Bible verses on healing, or to release a word of knowledge if you get one, so that you can build up the faith of the sick person. Then when you lay hands on their head or you pray for them, you're simply giving that person a point of contact to release their faith. And then God will release his anointing power to heal. Okay, so faith is key. So whenever possible, you want to nurture the faith of the person you're praying for. All right, hallelujah. Second, do me a favor, everybody. Never use, if it be your will, heal this person, Lord. That phrase destroys faith. There is no scriptural basis for using this phrase. It's just a safety that Christians hold on to, just in case that they get embarrassed because God doesn't answer their prayer. Lord, heal this person if it be your will. I didn't get healed. Well, I guess it wasn't God's will. This phrase destroys faith, brothers and sisters. Mark 11:24 says instead that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received the answer and it will be yours. Hallelujah. That's the biblical precedence. Some people quote Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane as a defense for this phrase, you know, if it be your will, you know. But, you know, you got to think about it. This was an entirely different situation. Jesus already knew that he had to go to the cross. He knew his purpose for coming onto the earth, and his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. That was simply an expression of agony at the thought of being separated from the fellowship of the Father and the Spirit as he went to the cross. That's an entirely different situation. Well, you might be like, how do I know it's God's will to heal? Maybe it's God's will that I suffer. Maybe it's God's will that I die from this disease. Well, is it? I'll read to you some Bible verses. Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26 says, I am the Lord Jehovah thy God that healeth thee. That's where we get Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. I am the Lord your God that heals you. Psalm 103:3. Praise the Lord who forgives all your sins. Do we believe that we're forgiven of our sins? Amen? Well, it also says, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Hallelujah. If you're walking in obedience to the word of God, there is no disease that should kill you. Hallelujah. If you want to get into the theology of Job, that's a different story. But hallelujah, I think that was an exceptional case. But the normative way in which God deals with his people is he heals, he forgives your sin and heals your disease. Exodus 23:25. It says, worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water, and I will take away sickness from among you. Did you know that the Israelites, all day they were living in the desert, they didn't have to worry about all kinds of sicknesses. How did they remain so healthy? Through the desert. It gets cold at night. It's hot during the day. It gets cold at night. Hot during the day. How do they remain healthy? I'll tell you how. Because they worship the Lord their God. And whenever God brought a judgment, sometimes he'd bring a plague. And he'd wipe out thousands of them. Just to show forth that his word is true. Well, let's put it this way. If your cousin was dying, and that cousin decided that God was using his illness and death to make his family pray and cause many people to think how short life is. Right? Isn't that what people do? When they know that they're dying, that's the kind of thinking that they get into. And God's using this. This is his purpose. It's for me to die and for people to pray and for people to see how short their life is. Now, what do you think would happen if Jesus was to walk into his hospital room? What would Jesus do? You probably have no doubt in your mind that Jesus would heal him. Jesus will not just stand there and say, my child, it is my will for you to die. Because you're going to cause that stubborn brother of yours to pray. I will be glorified by this suffering, disease, and death. And you're like, thank you, Jesus. Right? No one imagines that. If Jesus walked in the room, be like, Jesus, my cousin, how'd you get it? I don't care. Just pray for him. And Jesus will heal him. Hallelujah. You know, there is no need for you to say it's if it's your will. Because we know from God's word that it's God's will for his children to be healed, to live in health. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, I'm not basing the theology of Job on this. All right, if you want to get into that, we're going to talk about that. That's called, I believe it's called theodicy. All right, hallelujah, theodicy. Yeah, hallelujah. But we're talking about the normal way in which God deals with his people. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, a person's sickness can be connected to sin or to stress or to fear, anxiety, or unforgiveness. Woo, unforgiveness. I tell you right now, man, people learn to forgive people, that the body of Christ would just learn to forgive people, man, more than half the people will be healed. They will not be living with that kind of disease. Other times it can be a generational curse. In Luke 18, Jesus' first words to the paralyzed man was, "Your sins are forgiven." All right? God's like, "I want you to heal me." Get up and walk. Right? As Jesus said that, he was instantly healed. Because that sin had to do with his ailment, his paralysis. When praying for the sick, it's a good idea to ask if the person feels troubled in their conscience. And then have them confess their sins aloud and then assure them of their forgiveness in Christ and then pray for healing. Hallelujah. You want to remove every block that you can. Or a word of knowledge. Remember gifts of revelation last week? A word of knowledge may manifest in a vision or a sentence, and that may give you clues on how to proceed. When you have no clue, sometimes you just pray in tongue. All right, which I'll cover next week. You just pray in tongue, and people can also be healed that way. As the Spirit guides us to pray for diseases and ailments. And this could be for yourself and for others. Hallelujah. Now when I get a headache coming on, all right, I lay hands on myself. That headache don't go away, I get some oil and I know it myself. Hallelujah. And if it really doesn't go away, I call up Aaron. Hallelujah. You know, I lay hands because I know the anointing for healing is available for me. Hallelujah. And sometimes, you know, the devil will bring a spiritual attack. It'll be a demon that's causing that ailment. There's spirits of infirmity, spirits of disease. A woman was hunched over with what looked like scoliosis, and Jesus cast out a demon out of her. And all of a sudden, she straightened up. Hallelujah. Was it he or she? Hallelujah. But the person has scoliosis. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, the best way to learn about healing is to begin praying for the sick. Ask God to use you in this way and then step out. Well, you might be like, "But I've never seen anyone healed of blindness." Well, let me ask you a question. How many blind eyes have you prayed for? "I've never seen cancer healed." Well, how many people with cancer have you prayed for? There you go. You got to step out. And step out frequently before you see God use you mightily in the gifts of healing. A minister named Ronnie Howard Brown, he is used powerfully by God today. And he shares frequently about how at the beginning of his ministry to pray for the sick, most of the people he prayed for, they would die. You know? How encouraging is that, right? Brother Ronnie? Yes. That man with cancer that you prayed for last week? Yes. He died 2 weeks earlier than what the doctor said. But nevertheless, Dr. Brown, he kept stepping out. And he kept standing on God's word. And he kept praying for the sick. He didn't care if he never got invited back to the same church. But he kept stepping out in faith. When words of knowledge, gifts of faith manifested, he kept stepping out in faith. And he kept praying for the sick. And you know what? After 2 years of this, God began using him mightily to heal. Hallelujah. And he continues to do so today. Catherine Coleman was a revivalist in the 70s. I don't know if anyone know who she is. But she's also a person, anyone with the ministry of healing, what you notice is, at the beginning of their ministry, most of the people they pray for, they don't get better. Almost some people they pray for, they die. Right? I don't know why God does it like that. But Catherine Coleman, she experienced the same thing. But she kept stepping out in faith. And then she was, at one point, used so powerfully by God that people would get healed before they even got to her service. People would throw away their crutches in the parking lot. Hallelujah, because the power of God was upon her ministry. In fact, the hotels where she stayed, there were reports that people who stayed in adjacent floors would get healed of various diseases. You know, this is like the book of Acts, where the apostles, when their shadow would hit people, they would get healed because the anointing, the power of God was flowing through them for healing. Hallelujah. But I tell you right now, today we're going to pray for people. Your shadow ain't going to heal nobody today, probably. All right? But it's as you step out in faith. God needs to see that you're serious before he'll entrust you with a manifestation of these gifts. He wants to purify your heart. Are you doing this so that you can be seen? Or are you doing it in compassion for the people that are sick? Are you doing it for your glory? Or are you doing it for the glory of God? Are you doing it so that you can make the news? Or are you doing it so that the good news will be preached? He's going to test you. And the way he tests you is when you pray for the sick. And in the beginning, you're going to see 1 out of 100 maybe healed. Hallelujah. Which is what I'm seeing right now. Last year, our prayer team, we went and we prayed for a lady who was dying of cancer. She was a CC staff. Man, I was so confident that God was going to be like, I am using you in healing and I want to continue to use you in healing by healing this woman. All right? And after the second time I visited her, man, a couple of days later, she died. And I was so heartbroken because I know the staff. He's one of the leaders, big leaders in CCC. And I went to his funeral, man. I couldn't even look him in the face because I was like, I felt like a failure. But I felt like God was like, are you going to stop praying for the sick because of this? And you know what? It took me a couple months to deal with that issue because it was devastating. You know, we prayed for another guy who was in a coma last year. And I was so confident that, you know, he'll wake up, you know. So, you know, we prayed for him and he started manifesting. Power of God started coming and he started shaking. And we're like, yeah, he's going to wake up. He's going to wake up. And all the prayer team are like, wake up, wake up. Hallelujah. Jenny, you try. Wake up. Hallelujah. Hey, you try. Melissa, wake up. And he just went back. He didn't wake up. And I was disappointed. You know, the message that God gave me in my heart was, why are you doing what you're doing? Will you continue to keep doing it? What are you going to stand on, your experiences or my word? Because later on, when I use you in this ministry, all these questions need to be answered deep in your heart. I'm testing you. Will you keep stepping out in faith? And hallelujah, it's been hard. I can't say that, you know, I'm gung-ho about praying for the sick every single month. All right? But hallelujah, every chance I get, I try to pray. I try to use gifts of revelation if they're available. And if there's a gift of faith, I know that person is going to get healed. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, wherever the Holy Spirit moves, there will be healing. Amen. You know, when you come into this sanctuary and we start worshiping God, you know, there's an anointing of God that flows. And on certain Sundays, there will be anointing for healing on the sanctuary. You might come in with a sore throat. You might come in with a headache. And at the end of praise, you're like, oh, that praise was so good. My headache's gone. Right? It wasn't because you screamed your head off and you sang at the top of your voice. It's because the healing anointing just touched you. And wherever the anointing of God flows, where the Spirit is moving, there's going to be healing. Hallelujah. You heard Pastor Sam's testimonies of when he used to minister with his brother. They were just singing, Shara Shrishti Ka Ringa Ringa. I forget the song. It's an Indian song. Hallelujah. And while they were, hey. And while they were singing, this one girl came up to the mic, was jumping up and down. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And they were like, what the heck, girl, sit down. She was jumping up and down because she got healed right where they were singing that song. Okay, wherever the anointing of God is, there's going to be healing. Not just physical healing, but also internal soul healing. When God saves you, that word save doesn't just apply to our spirit. It also applies to your soul and your body. Jesus, hallelujah, he saves, he delivers, he heals. That word save can also be used for heal. The Greek word, sozo, can be for healing for your body as well. You know what? The devil has been lying to us, telling us that it's all about just going to heaven. Okay, brothers and sisters, there's an abundant life that's available for you here today if you will stand on the word of God. Personally, I don't think God is glorified in the sickness of his people, but in their healing. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus healed people wherever there was faith to be found. Hallelujah. Also, as we've spread the supremacy of Jesus, men will be led to Christ through seeing his healing today. I talked to an Aussie student last year at Yonsei, and I asked her, how did you become a Christian? She said, it was through my grandma. How'd your grandma become Christian? She was dying of cancer. Pastor Yonggi Cho came, prayed for her, simple prayer. She got healed. My whole family was not Christian. Because of her healing, we all came to Christ. People come to Jesus as they see the gifts of power. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes, I'm going to close with this. The gifts of power, they overlap. They're not conveniently, like you can't always conveniently discern which one's working. Like, for example, if you want to raise somebody from the dead, if God's going to raise you, use you to raise somebody from the dead, you'd have to have three gifts in operation. You'd have to have all three gifts of power. One, you need the gift of faith. All right, because normally you probably wouldn't go up to a corpse. All right, you can try doing that today. Go up to some random cemetery or, I don't know, random funeral parlor. I don't know if they have them here. And pray for the sick. It ain't going to happen. But when you have the gift of faith, you are going to see things because that's as the Spirit determines. You need the gift of faith to actually pray for the corpse. Have the bonus to do that. Second, you need the gift of working in miracles because raising a dead body back to life is a miracle. And third, you need the gift of healing. Because how sad would it be if the person raised from the dead, but then the enormous pain of the disease that caused that person's death continues in their life, right? Or it might just kill them again. You need all three gifts in operation. Hallelujah. And these gifts, they often overlap. Gifts of power, gifts of faith, and gift of working miracle. Gift of faith and gift of working miracles. They're often like twin gifts. They often work together. God will give you a gift of faith, and it's usually because he wants to release a manifestation of working miracles. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, the last days are coming upon the earth. And in these last days, we're going to see an outpouring so powerful that we'll see even greater miracles than Smith Wigglesworth did or Katherine Coleman experienced. Amen? These are the last days. In the last days, God is not going to withdraw his power. He's going to pour out his Spirit. Hallelujah. And however this last days, such a time, it's not for the fearful. It's not for the fearful. If you're afraid of some of these things that are happening now, you know what? This ain't for you. You can stay with your safe Christianity. You're not ready for the meat, the strong things of God. Hallelujah. Because I'll tell you right now that the days of playing church are over. God is going to really begin to put out his call upon this generation. And God's going to do a new thing by manifesting the gifts of power. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's take this and let's pray.